Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, just before the break, we were speaking to Reuters journalist Dan Williams. He has been writing extensively on the current conflict in Israel and Gaza. If you're interested in following up on his articles, you can find him on Twitter. The address there is at Dan Williams. But now to property, the favourite Irish topic. A 24% spike in Dublin house prices over the last 12 months has begged the question, are we now in the middle of another property bubble? One commentator who believes that this is the case is Thomas Molloy, who's group business editor at Independent Newspapers. And Thomas Molloy joins me now. Thank you for coming into us this morning, Thomas. You're writing in today's Independent that the reality is probably a lot more extreme even than the figures reported yesterday. Talk to me about that. Explain that to me.
Well, I think there are two things. First of all, the figures are quite out of date. You know, the CSO figures, although they talk about the increase to June, they really mean the increase to around March, because it takes a long time to collate these kind of figures. So that's, at one level, it's just out of date. At another level, it excludes all cash transactions. So cash transactions account for half the market. So we have no idea what's happening in half the market. And that means that we have to use common sense. We have to actually look at prices. We have to talk to estate agents. There's no point in relying on the official data, because it hasn't really signaled what's happened so far, and it's not signaling what is actually happening on the streets, so to speak, right now. So that's what I mean. I think if you look at other data which looks at what's happening in Dunleary or Finglas, other places, both of those places are hotspots where property prices have risen very, very strongly since
around... What kind of data are there? What kind of rises there?
There are people who do kind of what economists would call granular data, where you just drill into the figures and you look at the 100 houses that sold in Finglas over the last 3 years, and you say, how much did they cost back in 2010? And you're talking about a 100% increase.
100% increase in
You're talking about 80%. Now, you have to treat these very carefully, okay? You know, in taken everything taken in isolation, it can be distorted by one or two houses. You know, you can have a few big houses, distorts everything. Property prices... they sound easy. They should be easy to monitor, but they're very difficult. In the UK, they have about four property price monitors. Each one comes up with a different figure every month. And that's not because they're lazy or lax. It's because how you measure property price increases is very difficult.
But can I ask you, Tom, I mean, you're saying that this is a bubble now. Mm. How is it? How has it become a bubble? I mean, is this not the normal reaction to an undersupply of housing? You know, the bubble we had before was because the banks were lending so much money, there was so much capital around. That isn't the case now.
Well, I think there's a confusion about what a bubble is. It's very easy for people to stand up and say there is no bubble. And that right now people are peddling a line. And the line is, it's not a bubble because there's no credit. And that's true. We're seeing obviously very little lending from the banks relative to what we saw before. But that's not the only kind of bubble you can have. And there is, incidentally, no definition of what a bubble is.
You know, I was going to ask you, why is this a bubble?
There is a definition of what is a recession, two quarters of contracting growth, that kind of thing. But there is no definition of a bubble. So in history, we've seen things like the classic bubble was the Dutch tulip bubble. That was just a mania. You can just have a bubble because everyone kind of goes mental. Or you can have a bubble because there's a shortage of something. And that's what we're seeing now. We're not seeing a credit bubble. We're seeing a bubble that is caused by a shortage. There are many reasons why we have
but
a shortage.
But is bubble the right word there?
Well, I think it is. If you say that a bubble is something, if you think of a balloon, I think that's what many of us think of when we talk about a bubble, something that you can just put a pin into it and it'll explode. It would be very easy to sort out our housing shortage, alleged housing shortage. There are many reasons for that. One reason is one in 10 houses in Dublin is empty. So, you know, if those houses come on the market all of a sudden, that will certainly bring down prices.
We'll talk about those empty houses in just a moment. But, I mean, one person who has come out and would disagree with the analysis that this is a bubble is the Taoiseach. So let's have a listen to what he had to say about it yesterday.
I don't accept there's a bubble, but I do accept that prices are rising because of the law of supply and demand. And you can't sort this out unless you build new houses. Obviously, there's a significant increase in house prices in Dublin coming from a very low base where you had over a 50% decline. Talking to estate agents and auctioneers, they say that people are walking into their premises with not one but two mortgages available in many cases, but no houses available. So they've got to get this moving.
It's interesting there. In many ways, the Taoiseach is saying more or less what you were saying, that this, he's just not calling it a bubble. He's saying it's all about a shortage. So, I mean, is the use of the word bubble maybe a little incendiary here?
Well no, because I think a bubble is something that can easily be reversed. you know, with disastrous consequences. Because property markets should move very slowly. They shouldn't move quickly. You know, a 25% rise in a year in a capital city is just, it's mad.
So what do you do?
Well, there are many things we could do. I mean, I suppose, and let's face it, there are no easy solutions here. And the context is that we've seen price rises in quite a lot of other European cities because the European Central Bank is printing money at the moment. It's you know, we've seen credit at the cheapest levels in history. So it's not surprising that we have asset price inflation. I mean, that's when banks...
But in fairness, people aren't able to get their hands on it very easily here, the average buyer in Ireland.
Well, obviously, quite a lot of people are, aren't they? I mean, that's a bit of a myth as well, that you can't get a mortgage. Many people can get mortgages. As Taoiseach correctly said, in fact, it's not a problem getting credit. It's a problem finding somewhere to spend it. What can we do? We can introduce some of the measures that the Fine Gael coalition suggested we should introduce before they came to power. Things like non-recourse loans, which would mean that if somebody didn't pay their mortgage, the bank was left with the debt rather than the person. That would impose discipline on banks, and they would have to lend more sensibly.
Oh, so you think there is an issue with banks not lending sensibly at the moment?
Yeah, I think there is. I think we could also have rules about how much you can borrow. You know, at the moment, you see ads everywhere. You see ads on the back of the bus saying, borrow 90%. You know, I borrowed, it was easy. 90% is very high by European standards, just as, incidentally, our property prices are very high by European standards. We could build more houses, and we could start building them tomorrow, not
that
in 18
months'
time.
That seems to be what the government are talking about primarily, is dealing with this by increasing supply. But that's only part of the solution.
I think we could also have a grown-up discussion about what we think should happen to property prices in this country. Because obviously, rising prices are good for many people. They're good for people in negative equity. And that's important because that feeds into economic confidence. So, you know, a rise in prices has many positive effects. It also helps to restore the bank's balance sheets. So those are really good things. The bad things, of course, are if you own your property outright, it just means more property tax. So I don't know quite why so many people are cheering about rising property prices, because for most people, all it will mean is that they pay more in taxes.
Is there an element here that it suits the government for property prices to rise in Ireland? As you say, it helps the banks' balance sheets, it helps NAMA, that it's better for them to have property prices rising, whereas it may not be for the individual citizen. It also, of course, ups their take on the property tax.
I think that is a really difficult part of it. It does suit the government's agenda. You know, one doesn't have to be cynical to think that. It was very interesting, actually, the timeline that he talked about 18 months to 2 years of further rises, which coincidentally brings us up to the next election. The government almost certainly thinks some inflation is good. The problem with inflation is that once it gets into the system, it's very difficult to get it out because people start panicking. Anybody who is in the market now will look at their partner or look in the mirror and say, I wish I had bought a year ago when it was 25% cheaper.
And I better buy now in case it's 25% more expensive in a year.
That's right. So then you get a stampede, which obviously exacerbates the problem. So it's very hard to get rid of any kind of really ingrained inflation. I think the government probably think we'll bring it up a bit more. Everyone will feel good about themselves. Far fewer people will be in negative equity. Everything will be hunky-dory. And then we'll take some sensible measures. We'll increase supply. We'll crack down on irresponsible lending.
Reintroduce stamp duty,
yeah. All that kind of thing. But it's not going to work out that way. It never does.
It's not that. It's almost like the genie is out of the bottle from your assessment of what's going on at the moment. But can I ask you? I mean, you know, house prices are still significantly below where they were at the peak of the boom. I mean, nobody's saying that they were realistic values. But have we now passed realistic values for Irish property, or are we in and around it?
I don't know how we assess realistic values. I mean, that's kind of, it just seems to me that's trying to catch a falling knife. One way we should be thinking, I think, is we're part of a currency union now. You know, we're a region within a big currency zone. Whether we like it or not, that is a reality. We should be looking at property prices in other parts of the eurozone. And, you know, at the moment, Irish farm prices are the most expensive in the world. Not many people know that. It's, I think, a very worrying thing. We shouldn't be the most expensive in the world when we have lots of land. And we should ask ourselves, for a city of 1 million people, you know, reasonably important as Düsseldorf or Dortmund, why how are our prices doing? This constant harking back to the unsustainable levels of 2007, which the CSO encourages, incidentally, by always talking about some kind of notional, you know, we're 40% below, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. What matters is how are we compared with other parts of the Eurozone, with whom we compete. And this is a national competitiveness issue.
And I suppose affordability for young families as well. I mean, we've had quite a lot of people, as always, when you talk about property, one person here, I was in 500K, I was 500K in negative equity a year ago. Now I'm at break even. This has been spread over 6 property price rises. Is this good for me? That's Harry. He wants to know. I mean, I suppose you're better off out of negative equity.
Yes, of course, it's great for him, yeah.
Mm. Another person, bubble ideas, fantasy cash purchasers are almost gone from the market. And another person, it doesn't matter how many houses are empty in Dublin, people want to live in certain areas. That brings us back to your point there of saying that there are thousands, 1 in 10 houses in Dublin are empty. Where do you get that from?
From the census.
I haven't seen an empty house around where I live. I mean, where are these houses? What do you know about
Where do you live?
Centre.
Yeah, no, I was swimming in the 40-foot the other evening, and the place I often go swimming. And it's amazing how many houses are clearly empty there and have been empty there for years.
Really? You know,
all over South Dublin, people are hanging on to houses. Maybe it's an executive sale and they're deciding to wait for the market to pick up. After all, it's a logical thing to do, isn't it? If you let's say, inherited a house in 2010, you were wise and sensible to do nothing. Often people don't want to rent because they want to be in a situation where they can liquidate it quickly. It's no skin of their back after all. They didn't buy the house. That's just one type of thing. There are a lot of developers, a lot of people who have left the country. Everywhere you look, if you drill into the streets, and
are enough of these empty properties in areas where people want to live that they could have an impact on the current price hikes in property in Dublin?
Well, again, you know, we don't have the data. So I can't say that, you know, with any kind of level of guarantee at all. I suspect it is. I think we need to find out. Why don't we have an investigation? Why don't we have a department of housing that looks at the whole housing market rather than just local authority housing? Why don't we have a department that examines this issue and gives us the data, and then we can make informed policy decisions?
All right. Well, Thomas Molloy, thank you very much indeed for coming in to us this morning.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.